Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Tzadi Hey. We left off in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Emral. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lezechon Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, the Neshama Shav Aliyah. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to talk about today, we're at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to talk about a case of a person who was married to two wives, and because he only had one property to pay off the Ksubas, and because of individual deals that he made, it turns out that it's Chozer Chalila. You have this never-ending cycle of one person collecting a property from another person, then it gets collected from, it's like a triangle where it just keeps on going around and around and around, where everybody keeps collecting from everybody else until they come up with some sort of pshara in between them. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, when can a woman say that if she gave up the rights to a particular property, that she didn't really mean it? It was just Nachas Ruach Asisi Labaili, that she was just trying to be nice to her husband, that she knew that it would make her husband happy, but that it wasn't a sincere giving up of her rights. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, when can a lokeach say to a bal chov that he nachti lach makom ligvos mimenu? Meaning, typically the halacha is that a person is not allowed to collect from nechasim meshubadim, but makom sheyesh nechasim bnei chorin. That if there is still the person that owes you the money still has property, you can't come to people who have purchased property from him and confiscate that property. But when is that taina a valid taina, and when is it not? What if the property that the guy still has been destroyed, it's been ruined in some way? So can you still say, hinachti lach makom ligvos mimenu? What if that property is an inferior property? Maybe in such a case you can go collect from the nechasim meshubadim. So the Gemara is going to discuss that as well. And then as we draw to the end of the 10th perek of Maseches Ksubas, the Gemara is going to discuss a case of nechasayich layich nechasay layich v'achrich leploni, that someone says, I'm going to give this woman property, but once she's gone, then it's supposed to be passed on to somebody else. And he identifies a third party, someone who's not related to anybody, just another person that he wants to be the next owner of that property. And then the woman went and got married in between. So while she was still alive, obviously she got married. So now, does her husband get to keep that property after she dies? Because he yarshins everything of hers. Or do we say no, that the deal was that after she dies, it goes on to this next person? So that discussion is going to bring us pretty much to the very end of the perek, which is going to be where we get up to today, Bli Neder. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah discusses, Misha Yinasu Shtei Nashim. A person was married to two separate wives. He didn't get married to them on the same day, one after the other. So therefore, one has an earlier dated ksuba than the other one does. And he only has one field that's meshubad for both ksubas, but that field is not worth the value of both ksubas together. It's only enough to pay off one of the ksubos. Umachar sadei, and then he went and he sold that field. The kasva rishon lokeach, the first wife, the one who had the earlier dated ksuba, wrote to the lokeach, din udvarim ein li imach. I am removing any zuchus I have to be able to grab and take that field from you for the sake of my ksuba. I will not confiscate that field from you. Hashniya motziyam lokeach. So the halach is, the second wife never made such a deal, and she also has a shibud on that karka, so she can go and take it from the lokeach. The first wife never made a deal with the second wife. She only made a deal with the lokeach. So now that the second wife collected it, the first wife could say, I'm going to take that property from you because my ksuba is dated earlier than your ksuba is dated, and the husband never paid my ksuba, so she's allowed to take it from her. And then the lokeach, the lokeach go knocking on the first wife's door and say, excuse me, you said that you're not going to take this property that belonged to me. I get the property back from you. And it keeps on going, v'chozros chalila, it keeps on going around and around and around, where each person confiscates from the next person, confiscates from the next person, atchiyasu pshar b'neim, until they figure it out. Until they make a pshara in between them. The Rashi gives an example. For example, the lokeach and the second wife make an agreement between them that the second wife is no longer going to be toreif l'ksuba from the lokeach. And then once they make some sort of deal, meaning the lokeach pays off the second wife, let's say the field is worth $10,000, the lokeach will give the second wife $5,000 to just not do anything, not take it, and then each of them will so the lokeach will keep the field, the second wife will have her $5,000, and the first wife will be shut out because she'll have no one to be able to have a taina on, because the field will still be in the hands of the lokeach. So as long as they make some sort of deal like that, then it's going to be okay. Lav dafka that those are the two people to make a deal. It could be that the lokeach and the first wife make a deal between them, that the lokeach is not going to take the field away from the first wife once the first wife takes it from the second wife, right? The first wife might give the lokeach $5,000 and say, here's $5,000 to just please go away and don't take this field from me, and that's it. And the second wife will lose out. Or the two women can make a deal between each other, that the first wife is not going to take the field from the second wife. So when the second wife has the field, the second wife could pay the first wife $5,000 and say, just please don't take this field from me. And then that will knock out the lokeach. So the Chalkas Mechokek and Ebn Ezer goes through all of these different possibilities. That it's lav dafka, the example has to be that it's the second wife and the lokeach that make the deal, as long as you stop the cycle. So as long as you stop the cycle somewhere along the way, so then it stops being chazos chalila, and therefore it would work. V'chein balchov, v'chein isha, balaschov. It's not only by ksuba that you have this kind of funny situation where one collects from the next, that collects from the next, that keeps going around and around. It could work by balaschov, and it could work by like a regular melva, and that the lover sells his karka to two different people, and the woman is tovei her ksuba, and her husband sold his his karka to two different people. That in such cases, you have to come to some sort of pshara, and that's the very last two lines of Gemara. In this perek is going to be describing what those cases are of balchov and balaschov, where you have a similar situation. So we'll get there where we describe those cases. So now says the Gemara, v'chikasvale mayhavi. What was the case where the woman, wife number one, had said, "I'm not going to collect it from the lokeach." She wrote to the lokeach, "Din udvarim ein li imach." Is that meaningful? Is that significant? Does that have any legal strength to it? To write din udvarim ein li imach is v'atanya. Don't we have a brisa that tells us that if you have a shutaf ha'omer lechavero who either says or, for that matter, writes? It doesn't have to be that he says. Rashi points out it could be that he writes to his chaver, to the other shutaf, one of these lashonos that imply that he's cutting off any ties that he has with the field. Dinu dvarim ein li al sadazo. He says, I have no dinu dvarim on this field, which is lashon of the chacham to say, I don't have any makom, it shouldn't belong to me. Ve'ein li esek ba'i, I should have no dealings with this field, meaning it should be entirely yours. Or v'yadi mesulakas hemena. Not that he says all of these things. Any one of these things, any one of these lashonos, my hand is removed from this field. Lo amar klum, that is meaningless, because those words have no mashma'us that of giving the field as a matana to somebody else. They do not imply that he's gifting the field to the other party. And the Rashbam points out that since he already has a chelek in the sada, so to a lashon of siluk is not enough. He needs a lashon of matana, because he already has a chelek in the field. He's already one of the shutvim. So why is it that the woman is not able to collect from the lokeach just because she said dinu dvarim ein limach? Dinu dvarim isn't anything. Dinu dvarim doesn't have any meaning to it. So she should still be allowed to collect from the lokeach, the Gemara asks. So says the Gemara, no, hachem askinan bishakana miyada. It's not just that she said or wrote dinu dvarim ein limach. She did more than that. We're talking over here that the woman didn't just write or say. The lokeach also made a kinyan with a kinyan sudar on that vitor of the zchus, on her giving up of her zchus to collect that field from him. Once she made a kinyan, so then a kinyan is going to work to transfer the rights to the property. So frakta gemara, but really, v'chikanu miyada mayhavi. Even if lokeach did a kinyan, what legal force does that have? Tema, couldn't the woman come with the taina, nachas ruach hasisi lebaili, that I didn't have any kavana to be makna my zchuyos to you. I just wanted to make my husband happy in order that he'll think that I'm being maskim to his ridiculous decision to sell that field that really should have been should have belonged to me. It should have gone to my ksuba. So she didn't want to create shalom bias problems. She was told in her kala classes that go along with all the stupid things that your husband does, and then she was just doing exactly what she was told. But she didn't really. She knew she was smart enough to know that that wasn't a good decision. So she's saying, I had no das for a kinyan whatsoever. Milotnan. After all, normally we say dvarim shablei venim dvarim, right? If you do a maisa, you know, you can't later come and say, yeah, but I was thinking something else. And I didn't really mean it. So you're going to have to prove that there is such a concept of nachas ruach chasisi lebaili, that a person can come later with a claim and say, oh, I was just trying to make my husband happy. So yeah, we have such an example. Milo tanan, we have in Maseches Gittin. Lokach min ish, if a person buys a field that was designated to pay a woman's ksuba, and he buys it from the husband, v'chazar v'lokach mina isha, and then the lokech goes and buys that same field from the wife as well, and he gets her approval on the mechira of the field. She gives her stamp of approval on it, and she even made a kinyan on it, so that she's guaranteeing that she's not going to come and take that field from him. Mekcha batel, the mekach is batel. Even the mekach that he did with the husband, and even if the husband is still alive and hasn't divorced her, alma yichalisha tomar. The implication is that she can say that, granted, I was maskim to the mechira of the field, but only did that nachas ruach chasisi lebaili in order that my husband should be happy with me. But if our Mishnah holds that a woman is not able to say nachas ruach chasisi lebaili, so then you have a stira between the two Mishnayos. We have a stira whether you're allowed to say nachas ruach chasisi lebaili or not, whether such a taina works or not. So how we resolve that stira is going to be everything. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zeira, one possibility of a way to resolve this stira, where again in our Mishnah apparently the woman, once she's kanam yada, that's it. She loses, it's yada mislekas emena, it's din v'dvar mainly. She has no shaychas to the field. Yet in the Mishnah Gittin, she could just say, no, I didn't mean it. Nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, one way to resolve that stira, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Chista, lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Yehuda. That is stira machlokas. Our Mishnah follows Shitas Rabbi Meir, who holds that a woman does not have the right to make a taina of nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. And the Mishnah Gittin follows Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a woman does have a right to say nachas ruach asisi lebaili. So where do we find that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda disagree? Ditanya, we have a brisa, but a little bit of background to this brisa. The Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah that ain't from in chas mishubad b'makom shiyesh b'nei chorin v'afilu hein ziburis. That if somebody owes me money and that person that owes me money still has property that is under his control, I can't go and collect from lekuchos, even if the only property that he still has is ziburis, is very low grade property. I have to go collect from the person that owes me the money directly before I go to the lekuchos. But that's only bitanai that at the time that the malvas go with the sada so I'm allowed to be gova normally from the lekuchos, but that's only if there are no more if there are no other fields at the shas kviya. But if the lova still has some other karka, if the lova still has other karka to collect from, so then the malva can't go to the lokeach to collect. So that's what we say, that you're not allowed to collect and from the chasim shubadim when there are nechasim b'nei chorin that the lova still has. And the Mishnah adds that vafilu hein ziburis, that even though normally a malva collects from a beninus, normally if he has a choice of fields, he has a nid ziburis and a beninus, the malva has the right to collect from a beninus, but if all that he's got in nechasim b'nei chorin is ziburis, so then you have to collect from a ziburis. So from there we learn that if the lova sold his karkaos to various people, the malva can only collect from the lokeach achron. Because just like I have to collect from the lover himself, if the lover doesn't have anything, but I have to go to the very last field that he did have. So I could only collect from the last guy that purchased a field from him. Because everyone prior to that can say, Hinachnu lach makom lidvos. We left you, we dafka, we did our research, and we dafka did not buy the person's last field, so that when it comes time to collect, you can take from that last field. So that's where your shibud went, your shibud stayed. On that last field. So now, where do we find a machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda whether a woman could say nachas ruach hasisi lebaili did tanya. The Braisa tells us as follows: person had two fields and he sold both of them to two separate people. Kasav of the rishon, the balashtar writes to the first kona on the mechira of the fields velo chasmelo, and the woman did not sign off on it. She was not maskim to the mechira. She did not give up on her zuchus to collect the karka from the lokeach for her ksuba payment. And then l'sheni, and then the guy wrote a shtar to a second kona, to someone else who's buying a second field, v'chasmelo, and the woman signed off on that mechira, and she was mevater on any zuchus to collect from that lokeach. So ibda ksubasa, in that case, the woman will not be able to collect her ksuba, neither from the first guy, nor from the second guy, not from the first lokeach, nor from the second lokeach, div Rabbi Meir. Why? Because the first lokeach, she's not going to be able to collect from, because that lokeach can say, I bought a field when your husband still owned the field. So you can't collect from the chasim shabadim b'makom sheyesh l'chasim nechorin. Your shibud transferred onto that other field. So she'll say, oh, you're right. So she'll go to the other party and say, you bought the field last, I'd like to collect from here. He'll say, no, you already said, dinu dvarim eili. You already certified that you're not going to collect from here. So then she's out of luck. She's not going to be able to collect from anybody. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, she could collect from the lokeach sheni. Aye, but didn't she say, dinu dvarim eili? Yecholi shetomer. She could say, I did write that I'm being mevater and that I don't want, that I'm not going to collect that field from my ksuba. But nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. I was just doing nachas ruach to my husband. Atem malachem alai. You, the lekuchos, what taina do you have on me? Meaning, it turns out that you have a machlokas tanoim between a mayor Rabbi Yehuda, whether a woman could say nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. And that's how Rabbi Zeira answers the stira between the two mishnayos, where in our mishnah the woman cannot say nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. The mishnah Gittin says a woman can say nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. So answer number one to that stira is Rabbi Zeira's answer that it's in fact a machlokas tanoim, machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So ask the Gemara, but wait, Rabbi Sosam Lahacha Kramer, Vesosam Lahasam Rabbi Yehuda, does that really make sense? That Rabbi is the one that put together all the Mishnayos. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. The Mishnah Gittin is a Stam Mishnah. Why would he have one Stam Mishnah and one Nesef and Ksubas that follows one Shita and Tanaim, and a Mishnah in Gittin that follows the opposite Shita and Tanaim? Why would he have a Stam Mishnah going in two different directions? So the Gemara says there must be some other answer to this stira between the two Mishnayim. So answer number two, Amar Rav Papa, Begrusha, V'divrei HaKol. That our Mishnah is talking about a Grusha, and only after they got divorced did she write to the Lokeach, Dinu Dvarim Eili Imach. Meaning, a woman can have a taina of Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili, but that's only if at the time that she made that deal, she still had a husband. But if she was already divorced, there's no way that a divorced woman is doing Nachas Ruach Lebaili, even in the most amicable of divorces, which usually just means that at the beginning of the process, but even in the most amicable of divorces, no one ever says, no one's ever going to go out of their way to be able to not collect and not have every right to every last penny and every last dollar that she could possibly get. So by a grusha, even Rabbi Yehuda's moda that it's not shaykh to say nachas ruach asisi lebaydin. Marsha asks, and in Tosos it says that the chiddush of Ravashi that there's a difference between lokech. We'll leave that out for now. So it says Gemara, a third resolution to the stira. So again, so far we had Rabbi Zera's resolution to the stira that simply machlok shamei Rabbi Yehuda. We had Rav Papa's resolution to the stira that when can she not say nachas ruach hasisi lebaili, when she doesn't have a husband anymore, when she's a grusha. Third way to resolve the stira, Rav Ashi Amar kuler meiri. Both the mishnayos are assuming like Rav Meir. The Adka, because Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir, so that's, we'd prefer to say that they're both going like Rav Meir. The Adka no kamer Rabbi Meir Hassan. Rav Meir only says that a woman does not have the right to say Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili, Ella Bishnei Lekuchos. That's only in the, like in the case of the Brice over there, where the husband wrote to a shtar for a property to the first guy, and the woman did not sign off on the shtar, and then he wrote to the second guy, and she did sign off on the shtar. So it's only because there was also a property that she did not sign off on. Da Amri La, where the Lokeach Sheni could say to her, how can you say Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili, that you just rubber stamp everything your husband does, even though you don't agree with any of it, and you have no das to go along with it? If you're really that kind of person, you're that complacent, and you just go along with, you just do things to make him feel good, then what happened the first time? When the first time you sold the property, you didn't sign off on it, you didn't didn't, you weren't maskim. So that's a raya that you're not that kind of personality. You're a Jewish wife. you don't go along with everything that your husband does. You're not interested in nachas ruach asisi lubayli. Aval b'lokeach echad. But when there was only one lokeach, then afila Rabbi Meir moda, that even Rabbi Meir is moda, that a woman is able to say nachas ruach asisi lubayli. Umas nisin the kasav leila acher. In our Mishnah, that it says that a woman is not able to say nachas ruach asisi lubayli, in our Mishnah, where there are two lukuchos, so says Gemara, yeah, you have to make a nukimta. We have to say that our Mishnah is talking about a case that prior to that sale, the husband had sold something to someone else, and the woman refused to sign on that, and then he sells to this lokeach sheni, and the woman signs on that. And that's why she loses the right to say nachas ruach sisi lebaili. So the third answer is very nice as far as the braisa, but it requires quite a nukimta in our Mishnah, right? It's very elegant as far as the braisa, that the braisa, there were two different shtaros, so one of them she signed off on, the other one she didn't. Oh, so that's an indication that it's not nachas ruach sisi lebaili. But then it requires us saying that our Mishnah is missing a detail, that in our Mishnah there was also some other transaction that she had refused to sign off on, and it was only because there's that other transaction that she refuses to sign off on that she loses the right to say nachas ruach sisi lebaili. So those are the three approaches to resolving the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Maseches Gittin, whether a woman has a right to say nachas ruach sisi lebaili. So now the Gemara discusses when a lokeach is not able to say inachti lach makom ligvos menu. As we said before, a person is only allowed to collect from nechasim mishubadim when there's no nechasim b'nei chorin. But if there still is property that was owned by the lova at the time that you purchased your property, then you're safe. No one's allowed to take your property away from you. They're going to have to go to the property that he owned last. So tanan hasam, we have mishum maseches gittin. Ain from nechasim mishubadim makom sheyesh nechasim b'nei chorin. You cannot get paid from nechasim mishubadim when there still is nechasim b'nei chorin. Va'afilu ein ziburis, even if that nechasim is ziburis, ibayilu ishtadav b'nei chorin. But what if when the malva comes to collect his chov, the lova still has karka, but they've been destroyed, and there's not the value of the karka has been totally removed from the karka because the karka has been destroyed. The Ritva points out it's a lot of dafka that it was physically destroyed. It's any time you're not able to collect from b'nei chorin, like gazlanim took the b'nei chorin, or the b'nei chorin is b'medina sayam, or there's and it's a shas chirim between the two medinos. It's impossible to travel from one to the other. So there's something. There's something that makes it impossible to collect that karka. So now, now can the malva be toref from the lokeach because he has no ability to collect from the bnei chorin? What are the tzadim of this safek? So the Pnei Yeshua explains that when the chamor masakin that you don't collect from nechasim shubatim b'makom sheish bnei chorin is the ikar takana because of the hefsid of the lukuchos, that since the lukuchos did nothing wrong, they shouldn't lose out. They purchased a field, they did their research, they saw that the guy owned other properties and that the properties are worth more than the debt that he had, so they knew that they were safe, they did nothing wrong. Or is the ikar takanas chum because the balchov has no loss from this, because since the ikar shibur is on the love himself, he's not going to, he can't be mafsid the lukuchos biyadayim. The nafkamina is going to be when the sadus bnei chorin are niskalkel. If you say that the ikar takanas for the lukuchos to benefit the lukuchos that they were noe kedin, so in such a case the lukuchos who bought karka also were noe kedin. They knew that there were further karkaos, that there were other karkaos, so they never had to be ola ladas that there was going to be a tornado or something, that it was going to destroy the whole property or some sort of flood. So therefore, the malva has to lose and not collect from them. But if the takana was for the malva that he's not going to lose by collecting from the bnei chorin, so why should he run to the lukuchos? Let him collect. But over here, he will lose because the karka has been destroyed. So that's the nekudas hamachlokas, is what was this takana about when we said ein ufarim mechas mishbadim b'makom sheish bnei chorin? Who did we have in mind? Did we have the lokeach in mind, or did we have the malva in mind? And therefore, we have this shaila: what if it's been destroyed? What if the property has been destroyed? So the Gemara tries to be poshet the suffix from a brisa that we already had about shnei lukuchos. So Tashima, we had the case of a person had two fields and he sold both of them to two separate people. chasav l'rishon v'lo chasmalo. And he wrote a shtar mechira to Reuven, but the wife did not sign off on that shtar mechira. She was not maskim to that mechira. L'sheni, then he writes a shtar mechira on a second field to Shimon v'chasmalo, and the wife signs off on that mechira. She's maskim. She makes no macha on that whatsoever. So the halacha is ibduk subasa. She's not able to collect her ksuba divrei meir. That was Rav Meir's shita. Why was she not able to collect her ksuba? Because she can't go to the first guy, because the first guy could say, I still left you a field that still belonged to your husband. She's going to go to the second guy. The second guy will be able to tell her, you already signed off on this, that you're not going to collect from me. But if you're going to say that when the karka that was left over is destroyed, you then are allowed to go to the earlier karka. So I understand she's not going to be able to collect from the second guy because she had already signed off that she's not going to touch that field, that she's not going to touch that property. But why can't she go back to the first guy? And you can't say that the first guy is going to say, well, when I bought the karka, your husband still owned another karka, and therefore that shibut should all be on that karka. What are you coming to me for? Because that karka is now ruined for me, because it hasn't been physically ruined, but I have no ability to collect from it because I signed off on it. So since I have no ability to collect from it, if you really say that ishtaduf, that if the field gets ruined, that you're not able to collect from it, so let her go back to collect from the first guy. So answer Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my ibda misheni. When the Mishnah says ibda ksubasa in a chinami, that's all it means. It doesn't really mean that she doesn't have the right to collect the ksuba. It means that she loses her ksuba from the second guy that she signed off on, that she's not going to collect from him, but she could still go to collect from the first guy. So ibda ksubasa is not nearly as harsh on her as it initially sounded. It doesn't mean that she won't collect. It means she will collect, just not where she normally would have collected from. Normally she would collect from the second guy. Now she collects only from the first guy. So Amar Rava. Rava says, that's not what it means. Shtei tshuvas b'davar. Two explanations as to why it can't mean just ibda misheni. First of all, chada de ibda legamri mashma. Ibda means she loses out. What difference does it make to her whether she collects from the first guy or the second guy? If she's getting paid her ksuba, you don't call that ibda. You don't say she loses out. Va'od, and another reason that why it can't possibly mean that, is Tanya, love him in a echad, umachar nechasim l'shnayim. A person borrows money from somebody and he sells his nechasim to two separate people. V'kasim balchav l'lokeach sheni dinu dvarim ein li'imach. In the same case, except that we're replacing the ksuba zisha with a lender. Right? So the balchav writes to the lokeach sheni, he's not, the malva is not able to collect even from the lokeach rishon, because the lokeach could tell the malva, I still left you a place to collect from, and the lokeach sheni he can't collect from because he already was maskim that he's not going to collect from the lokeach sheni. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak's answer is incorrect, and therefore the Gemara says we still have a raya from the brisa that if the malva is not able to collect from the lokeach, from the later lokeach, then he's not able to collect from the earlier lokeach either. So it seems like a raya that if the later field got ruined, then you're still not allowed to go back and collect from the earlier field. So the Rava says no, but it's still not a raya to a field that was ruined, because the case of the brisa was not where the field was ruined. It was a case where she told the second lokeach, I won't collect from you, but the field is perfectly intact. So hasam iu da afsin nafshe biadayim. No, in the reason in the two brises that they can't collect is that the malva is makalkal himself biadayim to collect. He's the one that caused his inability to collect from the second field by saying dinu dvarim ein li'imach. The woman also, when she signed off to the second guy, she's the one that ruined it for herself, and that's why she can't go back to the lokeach rishon. But if it was nobody's fault, if they're not the ones that gave up the rights to the field, it's just that the field got destroyed in a flood or something, then maybe we still have this suffix. Maybe you still can collect from the nechasim shubadim. So I'm Rav Yemel Ravashi, that which the suffix, that which you have a suffix about a field that's been destroyed, if you're allowed to go and collect from the earlier property. This Dayanim deal with this in Batei Din every single day. Sometimes a person comes up with a kasha that they think is interesting, or a shaila that they think is interesting, and you talk to people in the field and they say, yeah, we deal with this every single day. Meaning this is something that's Maisim B'chol Yom. It is interesting. It was probably interesting to people hundreds of years ago until we were poshet the suffix. So he said, if you know Dayanim, you'll know that they deal with this kind of thing all the time. There was a Maisim of a person that lent money to his friend, and he gave his vineyard as a mashkon le'eser shenim for 10 years. Meaning, the malva is going to be able to eat from the payrus of that kerem for 10 years, and through that 10 years worth of enjoying the fruits of the kerem, it's going to ultimately pay off his chov, and then the kerem is going to go back to the lova, and the lova won't have to pay anything. The lova takes achrayus for it, though, that if the kerem gets old and stops producing payrus, then the nichs and the chasm of the lova are going to be meshuba to the malva, and the malva could then collect from other karkos. And sure enough, v'kashel chameshinin. After 5 years, the kerem stops producing any peros. V'asel kamayad rabbanim, the malva came to the dayanim, v'kashel leitirfa, and they wrote an ishur that he's allowed to be toref, that he's allowed to collect from the chasim ushubadim, from the lekuchos that purchased other properties from the lova since then. So you see that in case where the bal chov is not able to be gove his chov from a karka because the karka got ruined in some way, so you're allowed to collect from the chasim ushubadim, and there's your answer. So the Gemara says, that's not a raya, hasam nami. In the case where the kerem got old and is no longer producing peros, we also have a svar that inu davsidu anavshayu, that the lokeach did not correctly, didn't do right, by, and he cost himself when he purchased karka from somebody that he knows has debts, and that the whole debt, the only way to pay off that debt, other than collecting the field that he's buying right now, is relying that this kerem is going to continue to produce fruit for 10 years, which is a possibility, but it's not a guarantee. Everyone knows that pardesim, that sometimes a kerem stops producing fruits, so you shouldn't have bought that field. So the lokeach in that case was absent enough. But what if it was like a natural disaster that you never could have predicted, that no one saw coming? So then maybe that's not poshet the shayla. So how do we pass in halacha lemaisa? Ishtadu b'nei chorin tarfa b'mishabdi. That if the b'nei chorin, if the karka b'nei chorin has been ruined, you are allowed to be toref from the chasim mishubadim. Period. So Amar Abaye, a woman says to a single girl, nichsi lich va'achrich leploni. Last topic pretty much for the daf. He says to a single girl, I'm giving my nechasim to you as a matana, but when you die, I then want it passed on to ploni, to somebody else. Vamda v'nises. And in the interim, the woman got married. And the halacha is that when a married woman dies, the husband yarshins her. So now she dies, and the husband wants the Yerusha. So the husband yarshins her. So bal lokeach avi. The chamur mesakin that a bal b'nichse yishto is considered like a lokeach, that at the time that they get married, he's considered to have purchased the nechasim of his wife. So just like if the isha would have sold the nechasim that she got as a matana, then ploni, who's supposed to get it next, does not receive them, because the tanai was only that if she still has them when she dies, it will then go on to ploni. So too, if she gets married, it's considered as if she sold them to the husband, and therefore vein lachreich b'machon bal klum. The next person that was in line to receive this property is not going to receive them because the husband has already purchased it. So says Gemara Kimman, who is Abai holding like when he says that nitsi, that if a person says nitsi lach v'achreich l'ploni, and the guy sold, and the first party sold the nechasim, then the next person is never going to receive it. Ki Aitana, he's following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the following brisa. Detanya nichsi lich va'acherech leploni yorad harishon umachar. In this exact case, that the person says this property should go to you, and after you it should go to ploni, and the first person they gave it to then went and sold it. Hasheni motzi miyala lekuchos divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says the ploni that was supposed to get it next can go to the lokeach and confiscate the property and say I'm the one that gets it next. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer ein l'sheni al mashashi harishon. No, the second party is only going to be able to get it if it was still in the possession of the first party at the time of her death. So, Frekta Gemara, Miyam Rabbi Hachi, can Abai really say such a thing? That a woman is allowed to do this, l'chadchila, that she can get married and then be mavir the nechasin, that's supposed to go to Ploni and instead have it belong to her husband? Farmer Abaye Ezu Rasha Orim. Didn't Abaye say, what is the definition of a deceitful Rasha? Zeh Amesi Eitza Lim Korbin Chasim from Shum Gumliel. It's someone who gives an Eitza to follow Rav Shum Gumliel to go sell the Nechasim that really are supposed to go to somebody else, and now you're going to go sell them and take them away from the other person. So says Gemara, yeah, Mikamer Tinase, Nisi's Kamer. We didn't say that Abaye allowed her to get married. He said that if she does get married, this is the halacha that we follow Rav Shum Gumliel. Vamar Abaye, Abaye says on top of that, Nichsi Lich Vachrech Leploni, if a person says, I'm giving this Nechasim as a matana, and after you die, it goes to Ploni, Machra, and she sold the Nechasim to somebody else, Mesa, and then she dies, Habal Motzi Miyala Lekuchos, since the Baal could take it from the Lekuchos, because he's the Lokeach Rishon, he was the one, when he married her, he became like a Lokeach. Vaachrich, and the person, Miyad Baal, and the person who's supposed to go to next, could take it from the husband, because the one who gave the matana to the married woman, meaning he gave it to her when she was already a married woman, so it was on the condition that the husband not be Zoch in the Nechasim. So Velokeach, Miyad Achrich, but then the first Lokeach could go take it from the Achrich, from the guy that was supposed to receive it after. Mukul be under the Lokeach. And all of the Nechasim is going to end up in the hands of the Lokeach. So says Mara, wait, shouldn't that keep going around and around and around? Meaning just like we had in our Mishnah, until they come up with a way to make a Pshar between them? So says Mara, Hasim Islu Pseid the Lukulu. In the case of the Mishnah, however you do, someone's going to lose out. And therefore they have to come to a Pshara. In the case of Abaye, only the Lokeach is going to lose out because he's the only one that spent money on this. Everybody else was just receiving it as a matana. No one else spent a dime on it. So therefore, we don't want the Lokeach to lose out. So that's where we stop the circle. And we say, you know what? Lokeach is going to keep it. Azal Rafa Mamram Lashmait Kamed Ravashi, he said this in front of Rashi. Does Abaye really say that if you say Achayach Luploni and she sells it and then she dies, that the Nechasim stays by the Lokeach? Vam Rabbi Nichsi Lichva Achayach Luploni, Am Devenises, Bal Lokeach Avi, Ve'en Achayach Makam Bal Klum. Didn't he say that if she went and she got married after she received it, the Baal is considered a Lokeach and the next person gets nothing? So Amalei, Hasam Dam Lakshi Penuya. Yeah, that's when it was given to her when she was a Penuya. So then when she got married, the husband is like a Lokeach. But in the second Meimra, it's Dam Lakshi Nesua. The person gave it to her while she was already in Nesua. So Maika Amalei, what did he mean when he said Achrich Leploni, that after you die, it goes to Ploni? Achrich Likni Baal Lo Likni. That after you, this Ploni is going to be Kona, but nobody but your husband is not going to, it was Al Tanai that the husband is not going to have any rights in the property. So just to finish off the parak, V'chein Balchov, the Mishnah said that we have two other cases of Chazus Chalila, and they are Tanu V'chein Balchov V'shnei Lekuchos, meaning a person was a Malva, lent money to somebody else, and the Lova had two fields that were each worth a half a mana and a half of the value, and the Lova sold both the field to two separate Lekuchos, and the Malva writes to the second Lokeach, Dinu Dvarim Ein Liyimach. The halacha is that the Malva collects the field that's worth a half a mana from the first Lokeach. The Lokeach Rishon will then go collect from the Lokeach Sheni, and now the Malva will then collect from the second field from the Lokeach Rishon. So he has two fields that are both worth the full value of the Halva'a. But then the Lokeach Sheni will take away from the Malva the second field, because he already wrote Dinu Dvarim Ein Liyimach, and it will be Chozer Chalila, V'chein Isho Balasko V'shnei Lekuchos. And also, another case where you have to come to a Pshara is a woman whose husband owed her a ksuba of Masayim Zuz. He had two fields that were each worth $100, and he sold the Baal sold the two fields to two different people, one after the other. The woman writes to the second Lokeach, Dinu Dvarim Ein Liyimach. So when the husband dies, the woman collects the field that's worth $100 from the Lokeach Rishon. Lokeach Rishon goes and collects from the Lokeach Sheni. Then the woman goes and collects the second field from the Lokeach Rishon. So now she has two fields that are the value of her ksuba, but the Lokeach Sheni says, you wrote to me Dinu Dvarim Ein Liyimach, so therefore I'm going to take it from you. Lokeach Rishon will go to that person and keep going around and around and around. Hadron Lach Misha Yenasli Bez Hashem. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the beginning of the 11th parak of Maseches Ksubas. Everyone have a good day and a good yantif.